title of the sermon is In-Laws. Family, it's been kind of an interesting theme. It's what Jesus was talking about there. He is with his Adelphos. This is the word, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. So he is with his Adelphos, and that means those of you that were together in the womb, your womb mates. It often gets translated as brothers, because in the time when Jesus was alive, women didn't really count. And so only the men. But our translation would appropriately be all of those that have been in the womb with us, all those who are family, who are clan together, brothers and sisters. And they're all outside, and somebody says, hey, they're all out there, your clan, your Adelphos, your mom, they're all outside. And he says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does the will of God. Now, family, some of you know that this summer I was able to baptize my grandson. What a blessing. You may not all know some of the ins and outs of family there. I have in-laws and outlaws. Most of us do, but I helped raise two children, two daughters that were stepdaughters. You've heard of Corinne and Beth, possibly. We lost Corinne this last year to COVID. Beth, you probably have not met, nor her daughter, Molly. But we had the two good daughters that were in-laws, if you will, and then my two daughters, Sarah and Melissa. All daughters, and it was wonderful because we had two that were older that could babysit the two younger. It was a match made in heaven. Today we call it a blended family. And blended families are the predominant family style. And we need to acknowledge that. Some families get a little bit nervous sharing that they were adopted, or he was adopted, or she was adopted, or they married, and then they remarried, and then their marriage, and then they brought his, hers, and theirs. And so there's all of these things going on. That's why I say in-laws and outlaws, because we have all of that. So I had a blended family that I helped raise, that I helped parent as best I was able. But I also came from a blended family. It was kind of entertaining. I didn't find out till I was 12 that I'm adopted by my dad. Carl Freitag is my father, my dad. I'd known him. He raised me from, you know, just a little tadpole to... And could not have asked for a better parent, better father. But it becomes intriguing when you go to the doctor's office and says, what is your father's medical history? Well, I didn't know. So I joined one of those DNA sites, because that's one of the things they can do, is they do DNA testing and what have you. I don't know how accurate it is. I've heard people swear by it, and I've heard people say poo-poo on it, so I don't know. But I was raised with my brother Andy, who is a Fed. He works for the IRS. And two older sisters. I told you about them, the manners czars, the manor police when I was growing up. So it was the four of us growing up. Found out I have another seven half-siblings. The man who was my biological father was married three times and had kids with four women. And died very young. I have no knowledge of him. I can't find out much more than that. But he died relatively young age. There is no other history in that side of the family that reflects there's a concern. But what does family mean then? What does it mean to have family like that? I got some of these notices, and they found the DNA testing said that I have all kinds of cousins. And two of the fourth cousins, I've actually been in contact. There's Laurel. She's back east. She has 12 kids. And all of her kids are part of my relation now. And I'd never met them. Maybe not. And Matilda Bystrom, a wonderful gal I've been in contact through email with. She lives in the area. They hearken from Nova Scotia. We've exchanged a few emails trying to figure out our family tree and how we're connected. And we managed to do that. How is that family, and how connected is that? And And again, what about health data? Is our family predisposed for this, that, or the other? I have good news on my mother's side. I may be related to a lady of English royalty. It is not Lady Godiva. I know some of you were thinking that. And I may have come from the Clan Robinson, Scottish. How many of you can claim that you're from a clan at some point? Yeah, yeah. So there's a few of us. I don't know what that means or what benefits or what downside that is, but family. And as I look now, and they list all these second cousins and third cousins and fourth cousins. I've got up to sixth cousins. This is my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's other kids, their kids. So this tree, you can't even print it out. It's huge. And how big is our family? What in the world? But family is something else, too. I have family. It's Christmas card time. And there are those people that are on my Christmas card list, and I keep up with every year. Sometimes that's all we manage is just Christmas cards back and forth. But there are others who have, I see as often as I can, and we connect in different ways. I have a friend from high school, and he and his mom, Mary and Gary, you've probably seen them on Christmas Eve. She's from Grand Junction, travels over by train, and spends a week with her son, Gary, who is in North Glen. And they're family. There are no genetic connection between us whatsoever, but we've been family since I was a junior in high school. You have family like that? And there are family, I'm clergy, so we're itinerant. That's a polite way of saying we're homeless. The bishop can call me at any time and say, you are now moved, and I'm now appointing you as of this coming Sunday. Had a friend who was doing that. It was Christmas. His son, he and his son was a senior in high school, and he called him and he says, I'm sending you to Castle Rock, Wyoming. And he says, Bishop, I can't go. Bishop says, you're going, and he did. I'm retiring from the conference. They can't do that to me anymore. I'm safe from that. Yay! And it's kind of a weight that hangs over your head because we agree to serve at the will of the bishop, and that has been a blessing, not a curse. But family, then ask the question, which family? I have a family from Fort Morgan, the church family that I had there, and a family from Ordway, southeast Colorado. My insurance agent is still the tenor that I sang with in the choir in Ordway. And Johnstown, I have family there. Mike and Faye Ferruglis come fairly frequently. We're always in contact one with the other. Family is not just those biologicals. And now I have family here from Burns. And now I have Tongan family. That's pretty cool, you know, and I'm kind of excited. I'm going to learn a little more Tongan, but don't hold me to it. I have conference family as well, the clergy that I have known since I've been a part of the church. Reverend Len Evans, I don't know if any of you know him, but he passed. He's joined the saints this week. He had been horribly ill for about 10 years. We kept asking, is he dead yet? Which is cruel, but he was so sick. And it was always difficult because it was Len and Linda, he and his sister. And you had to stop and think which one is, you know, and get that all squared away. But they're family. And that's all aside from the fact that we are all part of God's family. If God is our parent, then we're all related. That's a scary thought. I mean, talk about Christmas cards alone. But think about some of that connectedness. It all fits together when Jesus said, love one another. And they had heard this, you know, this was taught in the Old Testament in the temple, is love one another was one of the rules. Love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love one another. And one of the people questioned Jesus one day to say, well, who is the neighbor that I'm supposed to love? I mean, I need to narrow it down here. You certainly don't want me to love everybody, Lord. So who is my neighbor, Lord? And Jesus told them a story. You remember it. He told them the story of the Good Samaritan, this man from Samaria. People from Samaria were evil, hated, detested. You were supposed to be around them. They were just awful, awful people. The people that everybody in the nation loved to hate. And it is this Samaritan who does the will of God, caring for a man he finds unconscious, naked in a ditch. This is your neighbor. That was unsettling. Jesus was kind of like that. Have you noticed that? He was kind of that unsettled, and we need that, and we needed that. So Jesus said, mom and brothers and sisters are outside. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. I don't think he was excluding everybody else. I don't think he was excluding his kin. But I think he was pushing to say, no. All of us are kin. All of us are that family. And all of us are that connected. Whoever does the will of God is family. We are connected one to another. I want to tell you a story about a young Buddhist boy. This young Buddhist boy, Roy, 1940s. And unfortunately for Roy, his mom and dad were Japanese. They lived on the West Coast. And it was the 40s. And the United States went to war with Japan. And so, in one of the dark moments of our history, all people of Japanese descent were deemed to be untrustworthy, at least, and were removed from their homes and placed in prison camps. They called them internment camps. We have one in several in Colorado, I believe. Amachi is one. I don't think our Buddhist buddy Roy was in Amachi. But at any rate, they're interred in, locked up, although Roy was born in the United States, born an American, born and as American as you, as I. And they didn't give him much. They put him in the prison camps, and things were tight. There was rationing. There was struggles. The buildings were just wood on frame, cracks between the boards, no insulation, minimum food that they could get to them. But the Christians nearby began to minister to them. They brought them what they needed. They brought them extra food. They brought them medicine. They brought them material so the women could sew and knit and create. They brought them seeds so they could grow what they could grow when they could. They ministered to these people as if they were family. Well, Roy's father, the head of the family, in that patriarchal situation, he decided we are all changing from Buddhism to Christianity. What you have done here is right. What happened here is appropriate. What happened here is what God wants, and this is the right way to be. So, little Buddhist Roy went from being Buddhist to Christian. And he grew up in Methodist churches, believe it or not, and then later when they merged, United Methodist churches. And by golly, later he felt a call to the ministry and he became a United Methodist pastor. Is that amazing or what? And then he was elected bishop, Bishop Roy Sano. And that was our bishop. How many of you remember Roy Sano? I remember when he placed his hands on my head and ordained me an elder. Love one another. Who do we love? Who are our neighbors? Who are we to love? What are the limitations on that? Surely you can't expect everyone. What about these kids in the shootings? I hate to break it to you, but that's our families. And that's part of the reason, you know, I was quick, and I am always quick to respond, oh, it's gang violence. Push it to the side and forget about it. That's an easy excuse, an easy way to cover it up and ignore it. And that's wrong. What should the right reaction be? What should we be doing as a church? As family to family. Paya, you helped bring some of that home. You had kids that were in the school over at Hankley. I don't know that any of us have students in Aurora Central or any of those were involved. But we need to think of that and understand that as family. And what are we going to do? There's a tendency for to say, we're not involved, we'll just stay away from it and avoid all of that. And people are getting hurt when we do that. This isn't being solved. The police chief for Aurora, I don't know her name, but she said families are aware of what's going on. You families, you mothers and you fathers know these kids. We need to start getting involved here. What do? I don't know. I don't have those answers. I'm 66. I'm retired. I don't have to come up with new and original ideas. But prayers for start. An opening of minds that we might listen to God's still small voice and find out how we could be involved. Maybe we have, in our collected wisdom, maybe we have a solution. Maybe we have an idea. Maybe we can reach one person. Maybe we can touch somebody. Maybe his name is Roy and affect and change their lives. All are my brothers and my sisters. And my mother. God grant that we, Lord, also grow our family. Amen.